Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Today, the campaign trail took to Twitter. Tweets before dawn from Donald Trump, mostly about a former Miss Universe winner who came up in the debate on Monday.
He called this woman Miss Piggy. Then he called her Miss Housekeeping because she was Latina. Donald, she has a name.
Where did you find
her? Name
where
is Alicia Machado.
Where did you find her?
And she has become a U.S. citizen, and you can bet she's going to vote this November.
Okay, good. Let me just tell you.
I think it's time for our weekly roundtable.
Here and now.
2016.
And joining us today, Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision. Hi, Enrique.
Hi, Jeremy.
And Rebecca Sinderbrand is managing editor of The Fix at The Washington Post. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And I want to just talk about that, the tweet thing, the Alicia Machado issue right now first before we get on to other things, because there are polls out today that we should talk about and how this race has changed since the debate. But so if you look at the tweets that started coming out very early this morning from Donald Trump, he called Alicia Machado disgusting. And without citing any evidence that one exists, he referenced a sex tape. Here he is on Fox News Wednesday night talking about Machado's weight gain when she became Miss Universe, when Trump owned that pageant.
She had a lot of difficulties, and, you know, they wanted to fire her. The company itself wanted to fire her. I saved her job. I'll bet you if you put up and added up all the time I spoke to her, it was probably less than 5 minutes. I mean, I wasn't...
Rebecca, a lot of political analysts just throwing their hands up in the air going, what is he doing? Why, this is not helping him with suburban women who he needs to win the election.
I mean, really, you have to wonder what we're seeing this week and what we're seeing today is basically an extension of the debate stage where Hillary Clinton set the agenda and Donald Trump just kind of followed her messaging. You know, if you had said on Monday, it's as though Hillary Clinton said, let's talk about Alicia Machado all week. And Donald Trump said, great, let's do it. And that's exactly what the Clinton campaign wanted. And that's exactly what we've done. It's hard to see how this benefits Donald Trump in any possible way, particularly at this moment. We're less than 40 days from the election.
Isn't that amazing?
And we're talking about the Republican nominee is tweeting about a sex tape.
Well, Enrique Acevedo, the Democratic nominee, is tweeting in Spanish. How does this affect Donald Trump and Latinos?
Well, I mean, she's, you know, put out a very robust Spanish language operation trying to reach out to the Latino vote. She has commercials in Spanish. She has a large operation in swing states where the Hispanic vote, the Latino vote, will decide the election, like Florida, for example. So,
well, and I'm more referring to the fact that, you know, Clinton is responding to Trump today in Spanish about Machado. How does Donald Trump's dissing of not just a woman but a Latina affect him?
I think the Alicia Machado story helps Hillary Clinton with two key demographics, and you just mentioned that. Women and Latinos, and especially Latino women, who are the ones that are going to energize the family to go out and vote, to register and to participate in the election in November. Yeah.
What about when you look more broadly at the post-debate landscape, how it's changed? We've got a new poll out from WBUR of New Hampshire today that shows Clinton 7 points ahead of Trump. A Detroit News poll in Michigan shows the same margin in Florida. She's seeing a 2-point shift in her favor. Rebecca, how has the race changed since the debate?
You know, Clinton's getting a bump, obviously, at exactly the right time. Debate bumps can't necessarily last as long as people who get them would like them to last. But the interesting thing is coming at this precise moment, they're already voting in half a dozen states. Early voting has already begun. So Election Day, in a certain sense, is already here, and it's just going to keep going and gaining momentum in the next week or two. By the middle of next month, more than half the states are going to be voting. And so the votes that are banked now count the same as the ones that are cast on Election Day. So if at this moment, even if the debate bump doesn't last, the votes that are cast as this debate bump is happening will definitely give Clinton a cushion.
Well, I want to ask both of you about Donald Trump's threats to bring up Bill Clinton's past infidelities and in threatening, you know, saying he's not bringing them up, he's bringing them up. Let's listen to some of his thoughts on that.
For 90 minutes, I watched her very carefully
And I was also holding back. I didn't want to do anything to embarrass her.
Enrique, he said this over and over again since that rally, that he isn't saying anything about Bill Clinton. Of course, in that, he is saying something about Bill Clinton. What does this do with the audiences, the voters he needs to get?
I think this is, you know, part of what Donald Trump does so well. Sometimes he's not explicit about the things he wants to say, but just by suggesting them, he puts it, you know, he puts it out there, and then the rumors start and the conversation around these issues start and gain momentum. But I don't think this will help him in the long term, because it doesn't answer the most important question that Trump needs to answer to voters. Does he has the temperament to lead the country in times of unprecedented polarization and in the face of major security and environmental crisis? If he does this, I think he's answering the question in the wrong way.
Well, and as he asked that question, just 1 second, I'm going to come to you, Rebecca. But as he asked that question, as voters asked that question about him, whether he has the temperament, I feel like there is very little discussion about the possibility of the first female president and the inherent bias against her by a lot of voters because she is a woman. Rebecca, listen to this, because Mara Liasson today on NPR had a montage of what Trump's running mate Mike Pence has been saying.
Donald Trump is a man with broad shoulders.
To see that broad-shouldered, clear-eyed, strong leadership.
Who never backs down, who has a heart and a mind and the broad shoulders to make.
Are there a lot of people, do you think, who are specifically voting against Hillary Clinton or will because she's a woman and we're not talking about it?
You know, it's one of those questions that to some extent may be very difficult to answer because people may not even be aware of what's motivating their particular vote. You know, there are a lot of assumptions that people gain throughout their lives that they aren't aware that these are assumptions that are guiding their vote. Mm-hmm. They assume that their vote is powered by logic completely, but there's a bit of emotion in it. That can't necessarily be factored for. I think just kind of circling back to the Lewinsky attack, which does play into that, you know, the idea that attacking a woman based on her husband's infidelities is something that would have any sort of political advantage is kind of a questionable attack. And you even have Newt Gingrich saying, telling Sean Hannity, telling Donald Trump publicly, hey, this may not be the best idea. Maybe you want to back off of this one.
Well, either she has to get, you know, shoulder pads or something. Or as, you know, Paul Krugman wrote a really provocative column today in The New York Times pointing out just what you said, Jeremy, that it's the press, in fact, in particular, that's held Hillary Clinton to a higher standard, forgiven Donald Trump, especially early on, his gaffes. Everybody made a lot about how she prepared. You know, that's, you know, women, a lot of women related to that. She worked harder to prepare for the debate than her male running mate did. So people are kind of pointing to that. But Enrique, I want to ask you something else, because Paul Krugman brought up another thought. He said, you know, another thing that maybe this election is pointing out to us is that there are more supremacists, white supremacists in this country that Americans want to pay attention to.
That's an interesting point. I think this election has revealed the worst and the best of what we are and who we are as a society. And we have to recognize that in you know, our most negative version, there are forces like American white supremacists and people who are racist, and racial tension is still a reality in this country. So I think it's a valid point, and it's important that we talk about this. And going back to what Rebecca said, because this is so interesting, emotion over logic. You don't only see that in women as a segment of the electorate, the most important segment, but you also see that in the Latino vote. Look at Cuban Americans in Florida, the only segment of the Latino vote supporting Donald Trump. He allegedly did businesses with Cuba under the embargo, which would be a deal breaker for any other candidate.
That's being reported, yep. Mm-hmm.
That's been reported, exactly. And he's also censored the press at some point, some media outlets. He's criticized or tried to negatively talk about the election or the possible election outcome. And these are people who, on their logic, should be against Donald Trump. But their emotions are leading them to support Trump.
Well, we cannot go through this week of political news without playing this piece of tape from Gary Johnson, the Libertarian candidate on with Chris Matthews on MSNBC, and he was asked to name a foreign leader he admired.
Anybody in the world you like. Anybody. Pick any leader.
The former president of Mexico.
Which one?
I'm having a brain.
Name anybody.
Fox.
Rebecca, your thoughts on whether this matters, because Gary Johnson is collecting in some states a double digit percentage.
It's pretty amazing, to be perfectly honest. Remember, this is a man who came just short of making it onto the debate stage. And yet, over the past few weeks, he's had a series of moments that, you know, we were having a conversation in the newsroom the other day. It's as though he'd taken a large bet against himself in this election. He's essentially kind of almost writing it off. Well, and so it's interesting to see how that's collapsed.
Thousands of listeners were yelling, Merkel, Hollande, trying to help him there. That's Rebecca Sinderbrand, managing editor of The Fix at The Washington Post. Enrique Acevedo, news anchor at Univision, helping us with this week's campaign 2016 roundup. As you said, Rebecca, 40 days. It's amazing. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.